हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगराधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So, Natya Chaitanopanayanam, Natya Shastra, then we're dealing with Abhinaya. Right? So the Abhinaya will be the four categories, gestures, words, temperament, and costumes and makeup. Right? Angika, Vachika, Satvika, and Aharya. So now we're beginning Angika, Abhinaya, gestures. Angika Abhinaya means to convey the meaning through bodily movements, which include the detailed study of all the possible gestures, postures, and movements of each and every part of the body. The gestures are of three kinds, namely that of the limbs, sharira, facial expressions, mukhaja, and that related to different movements of the entire body, cheshtakrita. That means the limbs may be in certain positions, the facial expressions, but then when all that moves together, that'll be the third. Because there'll be a complete move, a full movement. You know, because otherwise you can put your hand, you know, you're asking a question, you go like this. That's the hand and the face will be looking. But then, you know, if the body then can also be moving like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Based on the sthanaka, sitting posture, chari, foot position, and nirita, hasta, hand possession. These gestures are classified as karanas, angaharas, rechakas, and pindi bandhas. According to Abhinaya Gupta, the sthanaka, posture, chari, foot position, and nirita, hasta, hand movements, can be compared to subject, object, and verb, respectively, in a meaningful sentence. While the resultant karana, which is action, kriya karana, and as the very life, jivatam, of the pure dance movements could be compared to the sentence. Right? So you have, so as ideas, you have all these different parts. Yeah. They're like parts of the sentence. Yeah. All that together makes one sentence.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the hand's in the right place, the foot's in the right place, how you're standing or sitting's in the right place, you know, all these things together, when that's applied, then it gives a certain expression. And that's the whole idea, is that in the drama, you're trying to get across the particular mood, the expression that's there. Right? So the words are going to express it, but then the bodily aspects support those words. Right? Because if you just stand there very straight and say things, people will say, oh, the person's very, you know, monotonous or very... very stiff or very, you know, it means it's not very emotional. So that's the whole point, is that the words with the movements, then that's what that expresses. Yes?
It's interesting to observe how different translators, they translate.
Yes, yes, it is.
Sometimes you see, like you explain, they give the meaning.
Right.
But they are very, you know, like... emotionally uninvolved.
Yes, yes.
Whoever gives the presentation, he's moving and expressing, and the whole thing happening.
Right, right.
But the translator just sits there and monotone. He just translates.
Yes, yes.
So it gives maybe half.
Yes, that's why, even though the vachika, the verbal, is what you're trying to get across, without all these other things, it doesn't have the same flavor. You know. You know, it's just like, let's say, you have something that you're giving, but then how you package it adds to it. Is that you know, it makes a lot of difference. Like you see high-end stores, it's all about the packaging and the bag they'll put it in. This big monster bag, but it's a nice bag. It's got the name on it and all that. And so it's not efficient to be carrying around five bags because you went to five shops. And all of those things could fit in one bag with room to spare. But you don't get the same feeling as if you're walking around with five of these bags. You feel like you really did something. You know? So it's all part of it, you know?
Even better, some male carries this for you, all those five bags.
Yeah. No, that's even better.
You just walk and then...
Yeah. Otherwise, you have the card. So it's just... That's the whole thing, is that all these things add up. That's the whole point of Abhinaya. Abhinaya is the whole thing. And it's not that it's just some loose thing in the bag. That thing in the bag is in a box. When you open the, you know, and the fancy box is covered with the, what do you call it? That celluloid paper?
Yeah.
Then you take that off, and then you have the box. You open that, then there's the very fine, like, tissue paper inside. Then you have the item. And then it might even have a little decoration on it. Then you really feel all that, then it's really a value. But if you just come and give the thing, you know, then it's like, okay, nice, but it doesn't, you don't get, monkeys on that side, dogs back here. They don't come in, but they have to let everyone know they're here. The dogs. Yeah, so that's the whole thing. Is you say the main words. You know, you say, I market. Or I just say, market. You know, well, what market? You know, I market. Okay, you market, you what market? I go market. You know, so the more you add, the better it gets. So that's the thing, is you add all these things, then you have this very nice presentation. As regards rachaka, circular movement of a limb, Abhinavagupta says it is through the rachakas that the karanas and ankaharas derive their beauty and grace. So you have the different movements, but it's that circular movement from one to the next that brings out the thing. That gives its beauty and grace. Because otherwise, yes, you do have those exact positions. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, because they move from one to the next, that also is then part of it. So all that together is then considered. When all these bodily movements are used by the actor to establish the character and situation on the stage, it is known as gati, gait. So when they say, you remember before it said you can tell by his gait.
Yes.
Means by how he comes out, how he moves, all these different things, all together. Then you get an understanding. And just from that, he hasn't even said any words. Just by coming out and how he moves, you know, is he the hero? Is he the clown? You know, is he the lecher? Is he who he is. Gait can be dance in dance movements and walk in dramatic sequences. So either way, they both have them. Just one is in a walking format and one is in a dancing format. As soon as a person enters the stage, his character in the drama should be judged by the spectator from his gait, right? So the gait doesn't mean just he's walking, but it means the movement all considered, the facial, the hands, the legs, the stance, the rachaka, the circular aspects of how they do, and like that. Thus, gait is an important aspect of theatrical representation, right? So here, all of it combined together, that's the abhinayak, means it's all these parts, but its final thing or the sentence is the gait, right? Vachika abhinaya, verbal representation. Words are known as the body of the dramatic art, right? Because you have the angika, that's the limbs. So the head, you know, the face, the head, the arms, the legs, the feet, you know, how they're all working together. But the body of it, that's the words. Mm-hmm. Because gestures, costumes, and makeup and temperament merely clarify the meaning of words. The Shastras are made up of words and rest on words. Hence, there's nothing beyond words. And words are the source of everything. So that's why you can have presentations that are predominantly words. But still, you see is that they're backed up with all the gestures. And so because of the gestures, then that's how you know what's going on. The verbal representation is related. Oh, there's nothing beyond words, and words are the source of everything. Right? So because of the words, that's why you'll have the gestures. The verbal representation is related to knowledge of grammatical rules. With the knowledge of these rules of grammar, shabda vidhana, which include minute details and suggestiveness, one should make a poetic composition by combining words and verse or putting them loosely in prose. Right, so it has to be also proper in its presentation. And you see the ones that are more classic and all that in that, those are the ones that are more remembered and more appreciated. The Sanskrit poetry deals with three main aspects. Gunas, qualities, alankaras, poetic ornaments, and doshas, faults. Means you have the qualities, you have the means the qualities are there, then on that you have ornaments, and then there are faults. So you watch out for faults, right? The rasa and the direct meaning of the text are the soul of a poetic composition. So the body of drama is the words, and then the soul of that is that it's been done very, very nicely. You know, how accurately it's been done. Does that make sense? Yeah. The gunas form the body, and the alankars form the bodily ornaments. Right? And then the rasa and the direct meaning are the soul. So that way you get the body. Right? And then you have the angakars, the gestures then are around that. Does that make sense?
So Maharaj, the rasa is like the main thing, you can say?
Yes, of course. The rasa and the meaning that it's giving. Yes.
And it must be related to elevation of consciousness.
Yes, yes. So that's the whole thing, that experience you gain. Yes. So that's going to be the soul.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The body will be the words. Yes. And the ornaments on the words will be the decorations on the body.
Yes.
Right? And the angakaras, those are going to be how on the body it has limbs.
Yes.
So how the head, the arms, the legs, all that move around.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So now, of that gunas, how you define it. Remember, because there's three aspects. Gunas, the qualities, alankaras, poetic ornaments, and doshas, faults.
Yes.
A guna is a quality of the rasa, which is the predominant element in the composition. Like bravery is a quality of the soul. A guna is a cause of the eminence of the rasa, and always exists when there's rasa. Right? Because gunas means the qualities.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that quality is then what the point that you're doing, and then you're using words to express that quality.
Yes.
And then in expressing it, you might use the words in a very poetic way. That puts ornaments on the words that are explaining the quality. Because
yes.
The quality is what will produce the rasa and the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The guna is a cause of the eminence of the rasa and always exists when there is a rasa. Right? Because if there's taste, there has to be qualities.
Yes.
So that's why it's name form qualities pastimes.
Mm-hmm.
Pastimes means there's the taste.
Yes.
That's there because there's gunas, qualities.
Yes.
Right? That's there because there's name and form.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So you have the body, but then the point is the gunas to express the rasa. So it's just, you can see it's directly the philosophy here.
Yes.
Is that the forms of the devotees and the situations they're in, they use their qualities to perform pastimes to please Krishna. So there's the taste, the rasa.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
And
then how they go about doing that, that's then the angika, that's the gestures.
Yes.
Is that?
But now it's starting from the person.
It's from the person. It starts from you as a person, and Krishna as a person.
Yes.
He has qualities. You have. You're a person. He's a person. That's the sambandha. You have qualities. He has qualities. That's the abhideya. When you apply that, then that gives the taste, rasa. So when I apply it, I'm applying the gunas, but I'm expressing it through the gestures and the words. Does that make sense? But the point is that's the quality of it that is important. Means I may be using, let's say, like a politician, they're using nice words, but the quality they're expressing is something else. So even though they say something very nice, you don't trust them. Because you see the words and the gunas are different. Like that. And so that's the whole thing, is that you see there's something else. So that's the point, they go together. They go very nicely. The words are there, but their purpose is to express a quality, which is then expressing, you know, being tasted in rasa. The guna is tasted. He's very nice, so you taste that.
Yes.
Set. The three main gunas in poetry are madhurya, sweetness, which causes delightfulness, ojas, vigor, which causes the expansion of the mind, and prasada, clarity, which is ordained everywhere. All other gunas are either included in these three gunas or are simply the absence of a fault, or they cover up the faultiness. Now, so all other qualities, you could say, oh yeah, but it has that, but it also has these. These are just subsections of these, or they're just showing the lack of the fault, that therefore you have these. Or it's something that will cover this so it doesn't have it, you know. Does that make sense? You're like the child. Oh, you know how you say, he's trying to walk, but he's falling over. But the point is it's actually, the point is it's his endeavor. But someone goes, wow, he's not very good at this. But then you say, oh, but he's young. He's trying. You know, so he's young. And so that covers the fault of this because it's bringing out the real quality. Is that... Yes, no?
Yes. Previously we discussed that energies, they reveal the qualities.
Mm.
And now we see that according to the qualities, we engage, you know, specific energies.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. It means the sambandhya jnana is just seeing how they all connect together and their relationship. Abhideya means now... you're utilizing them all together. You know, just like the sambandha of the angikara is that, you know, you're going to have the, what do you call it? Sitting posture means you have the limbs, facial expressions, and the entire bodily movements. And that's based on the sitting posture, foot posture, hand posture. And then you're going to have, then there's going to be an action with them, the kriya karanam, but all that together, how it moves, you know, very flows very nicely, then that's the rechika, right? And that brings out the beauty and the grace. So all that together, and then you get the taste from the rechika. But each individual thing, it may bring some aspects. So in the field, you can do certain activities. But when you do the activities, of course you're going to be using the field. But the reason you're using the field is for Krishna's pleasure. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, then it gives that effect. But if you're using the field for your pleasure,
yes,
then the result is material.
Yes.
You do it for Krishna, it's spiritual.
Yes.
So that's the thing, is they go together. Is that's why it becomes difficult. Like, no, is it this or is it that? You know, these are common points, but one is knowing it, the other is using it.
Yes.
They're two different things. Like I remember so many times watching someone cook something, and you look at it and go, that's so easy. You know, yeah, they put the ghee there, they put in the spice, they push it around, then after that they put this in, then they put that in, like this and that, then they put some water and like this. No problem. I go to cook it. Problems start. You know, how long did they put it? How hot was the ghee? How much did they cook it? When did they put the thing? When did they put the water? How much water? How hot was it? You know, all these things, which... you just look at it, you're not seeing all those things. You're just seeing that. Yeah, they put this and this. It's just all the sambandha. I mean, it's not the Abhideya aspects.
They say that's why those hook shows are so popular now in clips on YouTube. So popular because it looks so easy.
Yeah.
Get inspired.
Yeah, you get inspired, whether you can do it or not.
Till the first thing but, that you start doing it yourself.
Yeah, but very few show technique while they're doing it, what to watch out for.
Of course.
Like that, a few do.
They explain all this. What is the main thing you need to look out for, then always explain some of them. Very good.
Yeah, no, but generally those ones, they're not showy.
Yes.
They just, those ones aren't showy. They actually, so, I remember one where it has the pot on the fire, the camera's looking in the pot. You never see the guy, there's no words, there's no sound, and they just put the stuff. And it just comes up what it is. And then they're showing, and then it mentions stuff, and do this, don't do this, like that. You know? Yeah. And the ones who are like, today, you know, we're going to do this and that and all this thing, and I like this and I don't like that, and like that one's those. It's entertaining,
yeah,
and it's inspiring, but, you know, the amount of stuff that you can learn from is about a minute and a half, but, you know, it takes always, you know, 10 minutes. It's a good thing they limit to 10 minutes, right? Otherwise, they would take more. Yeah. So that's the point, and then tasting it, that's another thing. So that's why it's three distinct but co-related entities. So Sat, Chit, and Ananda are three distinct aspects of one thing. So that all together is rasa, like we saw before. You have all the bhavas, they're individual, but when they're all functioning together, that's rasa, that gives the taste. So the same way as the angikara, you have all that together. When it's all working together, then you get that. That brings out the beauty and grace. That will support then the vacha. That's the words, but it has the grammar, this and that. But that, because it has the qualities, that brings out the taste, the rasa. That makes sense. So you're always going to have the same sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana in everything. So you're trying to get the audience to experience prayojana in connection with the Lord. So, does that make sense? So then you have to see all these sambandha and abhideya aspects in that context. No? Yeah.
But actually, Maharaj, in daily life, we apply the same principle.
Yes, we always do. You can't get away from these things. So someone might say, how is it they're so good and all that, and how is it someone else is not so good?
Yes.
Like that. Like that. It's just a matter of how well this is there. And on the material platform, it will be according to your karma. Yes. You know, what you are used to and everything like that. What it is that you gain, then you can see it. But if it's a matter of what do you call it? But on the spiritual platform, it's what you've learned from the acharyas.
Yes.
They teach you, but they're always going to be better. Because if you're getting better, why aren't they getting better? You know, Radharani is unlimited, so she's constantly manifesting more and more of that unlimited aspect. You know, so as Krishna is unlimited, she's unlimited. So for every aspect of his, the taste, she has a counterpart. So he wants to taste this, she has that aspect, that manifest. He wants to taste that, manifest that. Then everybody else, because they're expansions of her within their area, that's when they come forward. That's why in one pastime you see Lalita's taking the lead or Vishaka's taking the lead. Another thing is Tungavidya. Another thing is the Manjaris. It's another one. It's a Kundalata comes along, depending upon what's happening in the pastime. And that devotees, then they come because they have those qualities or those gunas to express those particular activities that therefore give the taste. So that's why this idea, I have to do everything, that's kind of bogus. You know, it's just like, let's say, you have the dignitary there, and they do nothing. And they watch the whole thing, but they're in a special seat. And all. You don't think that they're anything less because they're doing nothing. Right? But sometimes you have individuals, they think, if I don't do everything, I'm less. So whatever you're doing, then they're doing, or if you talk about it, oh yeah, I can do that, I can do it better. Or I've done this. Okay, just be happy hearing what the other person said. Why do you have to mention that, you know, yes, you've also done that? You know? Is that, yeah? Okay. So gunas, that's one of the aspects. We've got that. Then alankaras, right? So now, on that. An alankara, poetic ornament, assists the rasa by coming in contact, some yoga, with the rasa. Whereas a guna assists the rasa by being an integral part, some sama vaya of the rasa. Right? So it's an integral part, the guna.
Yes.
It's what's connected with it, and the ornament comes in contact, and that's where it gives something.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? So the main presentation, the qualities of it, that's the main thing. And then the ornaments, then when they come up, they come in contact and they add something.
Yes, yes.
But they only add at that moment, and then they go, the guna remains.
Yes.
Right? You know, it's like before, the Sthayi Bhava remains. The Santris and the other things, Anubhavas, they come and go. But the Sthayi Bhava remains. So that's why they don't take over. So even the secondary rasas are secondary, because they may take prominence like that, but then they'll go temporary, and then the Sthayi will be left. No?
Maybe also we can see that the alankar, the ornament, they gave something more. And it can be like when we see a drama with excellent, there are these kind of things.
Yes, yes. It means it's just that excellent thing came up and all that, but the main body remains. So that's the point, is that there's just something to add to it.
Yes.
Yes.
As it is pointed out by Baladev Vidyabhushan in Sahitya Kaumudi, that the first grade or rasadvani is when the implied meaning is more exuberant than the literal meaning, then it is called as the first grade poetry.
Mm.
And that can be done only through alankaras.
Mm.
So that's the use of alankaras.
Does that make sense? You're just like, in other words, you're talking about the beauty of someone.
Yes, yes.
But instead of directly talking about it, you're comparing it to the moon.
Yes, yes.
So when you bring out the moon more, that's what you're saying, it's more, has more energy than that. So it, because it comes in touch with, but it's not actually the main guna. The main guna is pointing out the beauty of the person.
Yes, the embellishment?
Hmm? Yes, embellishment. Embellishment.
Yes.
It's just like the person is there and they're wearing ornaments. They look nice on their own, but you put ornaments and they're nice. And so in the situation, like when you move your head, earrings are nice. But if you're not moving your head, earrings aren't any, you know, when you move your arms, then the bangles have some meaning. You know? Does that make sense? And then how you say is when, how you say, when, with, how you say, with Omkara, then when he flips his chudder and turns his head and goes, poof, you know, then that has a meaning. Yeah, so. Does that make sense? Yeah. Alankaras. Okay, we did that part. An ornament. Yeah. Such as alliteration and simile sometimes enhances the first-rate rasadvani by means of the body of the poetry, like a bodily ornament such as a pearl necklace adorns the soul by adorning the body.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The mood of the person is appreciated even more because the ornaments on the body match.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Maharaj, you cannot say I put a pearl on my soul.
No. Yeah. But it all goes together. So that's it. It's because of the quality of that the living entity is manifesting, therefore the pearls go.
Yes.
You know, it's just like you see, is that the men's dress, then it's going to be generally fairly, because the main point is that steadiness or the stableness. And so that aspect is there, but you may be bringing out that they're looking more formal or more sporty or more kind of like a, what's the word? What would be word? Suave,
yes.
You know, like that kind of thing, depending. And that'll just be a slight little difference in the cut, or, you know, is the lapel is shiny or not, or just very minor little things.
Yes.
You know, the cut's a little bit like this or that, but that's all. But then, so that's there. But then the feminine nature is that what is the mood that's being brought out? Then you have so much more going on.
Yes.
You know, the various colors and the cuts and all these different things and how it's worn, how they move.
Yes.
You know, so you expect that more because energy will have that aspect. So that's the Yeah, so that's the meaning. The pearl necklace ornaments the body. But if there's a mood that's there,
yes.
You know? And so it'll be much more obvious and all that. Mm-hmm. But the point is, it's the same principle. Mm-hmm. That you're an individual, depending upon what mood and what's the environment, how they feel, then they wear clothes accessories accordingly.
Yes, yes.
Right? Some sense. Yeah. Doshas. A dosha, literary fault, is that which mars the rasa and the direct meaning, which is the foundation of the rasa. Right? So the direct meaning, the words, and then the rasa. So the ornament means, in other words, the direct meaning is what you're trying to get, and that exactly according to the grammar, you're getting that meaning.
Yes.
Right? But it's supposed to give a taste. That's the rasa. And so then, as we mentioned before, is the ornament, then that's going to be based on the direct meaning. You're using poetic, indirect aspects and bringing to more prominence in contact with that rasa, and that gives a particular taste. But the point is it can't cover the original meaning, and it can't obstruct rasa. Right? So if the words aren't done properly, then they won't have the meaning, you don't get rasa. The ornaments, if they aren't properly connected, they won't bring about the rasa. Right? So then dosha is a fault which gets in the way of that.
Yes. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out the faults in the Digvijaya Pandit, it was this, that.
Okay.
Which is not like enhancing, the main quality is not considered when making more ornamentation, then it becomes a fault.
Yeah.
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu keeps on pointing those. And
those, yeah. Because you say, what's the fault? There is no fault. Because he's looking at it grammatically, there's no fault.
Yes.
But the point is because it's not giving the rasa,
yes.
It's at fault.
Yes.
And then he's pointing out how, by saying Ganga Devi's like this or that, you don't get the taste because
yes.
The underlying guna or quality that's there is not being expressed through these ornaments.
Yes.
You know, and so that kind of, because everybody else is going to look at, oh, but in this case you use this word and here and it should have been that word, and you know, they'll argue over the words and the endings and stuff like this. But that's just one part of it.
Yes.
The actual dosa means that the rasa is not attained because of some, you know, the direct meaning, and therefore the rasa is not attained by your poetry.
The clarity is missing in that sentence.
The clarity is missing, and the sweetness is missing, or, you know, or something that comes out that's trying to present one thing, but they're emphasizing so much on something else that it just changes the feeling and all that. You know, and so therefore then you just see his pride is just coming up. You know, I'm using so many words so quickly and so technically. And then he loses the rasa. So it's a fault. Because that's actually what poetry is for.
It makes the rasa basa.
Yes, so it makes it wrong. So that's why we see is they know this so well, they can point this out.
Yes, yes.
Right? The scriptwriter should make efforts to use in his dramatic composition sweet and agreeable words, which can be recited by women. For, furnished with such words, a play will appear very much beautiful, just as a lotus lake will appear beautiful, adorned with swans. Right, so you have the lake, then the lake has lotuses, and then those have swans.
Yes.
Then it just becomes very, very nice. The delicate dramatic art with usage of harsh words does not appear beautiful. A play abounding in agreeable sounds and senses. containing no obscure and difficult words, right? So you also have to, according to what's being done in that, it can't be obscure and difficult words that no one understands.
Yes.
It has to be using. So that's why Prabhupada, he's poetic. They'll say, oh, but he's just using, you know, lay language, but it's words everyone can understand.
Yes.
And even he's using technical words, you know, like super soul or super consciousness. He's using, it's words that people understand. Though you don't have super soul in the dictionary. He's actually created those words to express, but by saying it, everyone knows what you're talking about. You know, if we say, you know, there's the soul, and then there's God as the super soul. Everybody understands what you're talking about, even though they've never heard the word super soul in their life.
They heard Superman.
Superman.
That's the super soul they can understand.
So you have the Uber Atma. Yes.
Yeah, even the phone increase. You know, when you type something, then it makes it incorrect. But then if you type it a few times, he agrees.
He agrees, yeah. You have to just keep doing it. You type it and go back, and then okay.
Yeah, then he accepts it. And then every time you start typing, then he gives you an option.
Yeah, even if you type it wrong, it'll become the option. Yeah. But here is that, so that's why probably poetic. He's able to do that, so it's not understood. They're taking it as, oh, he's just using regular words. But you look at, oh, you know, here we're looking at this one or that one that use technical words. But that's just how the translator translated it. You know what I'm saying? You can translate Jiva Goswami and use regular words.
Yes.
Or you can use very fancy words. I mean, you can use words that we've never even heard of. When it comes to philosophy, in at least in, you know, English, it goes back to the Latin. Then there's so many, like the Catholics have so many technical words that they don't even use these days, that have exact meanings, but no one would know what you're talking about. So the point is that you use words that people understand what you're saying.
Sometimes scientists borrow those words.
Yeah, and they pull that out and all that. And so I've noticed is that those who work on that speculative, they don't like using ordinary words. For them, it's, you know, so for them you use fancy words. But the point is it has to get across. It's not the word itself. It's the guna of the word, and therefore the rasa that it gives. So they get the taste, the rasa, from using fancy words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does that make sense? You know, it's just like for us, then we generally read from what in publishers are known as 12 plus. It means 12-year-old and above can understand the wording and how it's used in the grammar and everything like that. That's how everything that we deal with, all the magazines, all the things are all done like that. And some might use a touch more if they want, but things medical journals and things like that, they use language much above that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, they have their numbers for it. Yes. And so then they work at that level. And if it's less than that, you know, if the journal was going, well, the hip bones connect to the thigh bones connect to the knee bones, that they would know. You have to put in all the Latin words and that, and then they're happy. You know, you hear the doctor say, well, you know, this, that. What's going on? He has a runny nose. You know, like that. You know, it's just, they like saying it like that. It makes him sound very professional. Otherwise, his mother already knew he had a runny nose, you know. So, yeah, then why do you need the doctor, right? You know, the point is that just bringing out here is that the play then brings out for the audience, just like what I said before. If you're in a particular region, you would use the words and the colloquialism of that place. If you're using a general thing, if you're showing that, no, this is what happened at this place at this time, then you're going to, you know, do all those things according to what happened there. But you might explain them or use some terminologies that people can relate. Oh, that's what you mean. Does that make sense? You know, like we said, ornament. And then Manji said, does that mean embellishment?
Yes.
Right? And so then that's how it works.
Yes.
You know, it's what you're used to. So that's that perfection is some try to find a fault in Prabhupada's simple language, but technically he's not what he's explaining. Is the same context, I mean, the same points that Jiva Goswami is making in the Sandarbhas. But he's done it through simple words, so we think, oh, I know those words, so I know what he's talking about. But no, not necessarily.
Yes.
Like that, yeah.
It seems that it is a characteristic of the acharya, they don't make fault.
Don't make?
No fault, no mistake.
No, they don't. That's the thing. So for people to point them out, then where's that coming from?
Yes, yes.
You know, because it's about that proper mood, that proper attitude, that relationship, you know, that position, the attitude. That's the real thing. And that we get attached to technical words, like some, like, you know, oh, but, you know, I went here and they used all the technical words, they know so much more. They're saying exactly the same thing, they're just using a Sanskrit word, that's all. So, like that. A play abounding in agreeable sounds and senses, containing no obscure and difficult words, intelligible to country people, including clever speeches, right? Because you can say, well, they're country people, but country people like cleverness. They don't necessarily like intellectual. Because clever means it's practical. So country people are very practical. So when you give something clever, you know, like that, fit for dances, developing sentiments by many characters and having suitable segments, Sunday, and their proper union, becomes in this world fit for presentation to spectators. So all that together, that makes it. Because you can say, but that's just for country people. But the point is agreeable sounds, senses, you know, because it doesn't use difficult words or obscure, like that, it's done in such a way as it'll be understandable, but it's clever. You can bring in all these other sentiments and moods. So the point is the experience, right? Because the intellectual is trying to get an experience from the particular words and the ornaments and everything like that. You know? But the point is, you can do this general thing. That's what everybody can appreciate. Because it's so sophisticated that those who are more sophisticated, they can appreciate how it's put together.
Yes.
Because that's all they're doing is, oh, this word is this and that technical is that. That's all they're doing anyway. So that you apply that to the whole drama, not just the words, then they're kept busy like that. You know, the grammar's right, everything, that's what it said before. You know, the intellectuals will appreciate that the grammatically it's all done very nicely and how the words are used and all that. You know, the general populace, when it's like high energy, you know, when it has that sweetness and natural flowing in that, then the women will consider that very nice. You know, the emotions came out properly. So all that together is presented as one drama, and everybody gets from it what they appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
So the drama is supposed to have all these.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's not that every moment you're getting something, it's that you get now and again. So now and again the technical comes up, now and again the sweetness comes up, now and again the energy comes up.
Yes.
And so everybody will think it's a very nice performance. Yeah.
But Maharaj, in order to appreciate that, we need to be aware.
Yes, but that's the intellectual. But the common person, he just experiences.
Yes, aware in the sense that we need to taste something.
Yes. That's why then it's saying is that it's a fault if the rasa, if fault is that which mars the rasa in direct meaning. That's the fault.
Yes.
We'll say it, oh, but it's so simple. That's the fault. No. So then you just want to taste something technical. So you're not caring about that. So the point is the technical aspect is how it's all put together. But it doesn't mean you have to use a technically difficult word.
Yes.
So if that's all you have are technical words, then, you know, you don't have much of a life.
Yes.
You know? So yes, there'll be the things, but if you see how it's mechanically put together, you can see as all this is there, the playwright has a big, big job ahead of him. To get all the, because he's saying here, you know, by many characters having suitable sentiments, the sundies, and their proper union. So you have the segments that, like we said in the Natika, we'll see that coming up when we get into Natika Chandika. I mean, we get into the Lalita Madhava. Is that you have the first two acts are one segment, then the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth. five different segments. They have the Sundays, how they all come together, all these things. So to do that, that's very technical. So those that appreciate that, then they get into that. If all you know is words, then how do you say you know drama? Mm-hmm. Yes, it has words, but the point is drama has so much more. You're expressing. So if you like technical, learn the technicalities of drama, then you can appreciate.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? The point is everybody can benefit from the drama.
Yes.
You like the technical, it's got technical. You know? You like the rasa things, it's got that. You like the sweetness, you like the energetic, you like whatever it is that you like.
Yes.
All these things can be appreciated by the different public because it has all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the uniqueness of the Nataka, that it has everything. That's why it's considered the best.
Yeah.
And then after that, everything else is then coming down from there.
Mm-hmm.
It means like, technique-wise, the Nataka is the best, and it's about the Lord and the devotees
mm-hmm.
and the pastimes. Then the same technique but applied below that, not necessarily on the Lord and all that,
yeah.
then that becomes the what? Prakarana.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Then you just take parts of these, then you get all the other...
Yes.
other. How many types of drama are there?
Ten.
So the other eight kinds of drama are just parts of these. Like that. Does that make sense? So it might be about the Lord and the devotees, but only taking a certain aspect of it, not the full thing. Or it might be about the mundane and just part of it. Or it may be just about the romantic aspect and have that. Or just showing the energetic, or just showing this, or you know, like that. So that makes sense. Aharyabhinaya, costumes and makeup. Aharyabhinaya deals with costumes and makeup, which consists of ornaments of men, women, making up of the face and other limbs, with grease paints, etc. Details of natural derivatives and subsidiary colors. Different styles of hair, manufacturing of masks, etc. Aharyabhinaya is classified into four groups, namely Pushta, or model work, Alankara, or decoration, Angarachana, or cosmetic painting of the body, Sanjivana, or lifelike representation of animals and birds, and personification of inanimate objects. All these elements add ornamentation to the play to make it a great, grand spectacle. Hence, Aharyabhinaya is referred to as the ornamental aspect of Natya. Right? So we had the yeah. Bharat says that this Abhinaya, it's the ornament of Natya, of the play.
Yes.
The other one means the gestures are the ornament on the body.
Yes.
And then the word, I mean, on the, and the body is the words. And that the soul of that is then the rasa. Right? So this means now all of it together, now that becomes then the ornament of the drama. Like that? Does that make sense? Bharat says that this Abhinaya becomes important because the Aharya communicates the concept and mood by its dress and decor, even before any action is done or a word is spoken.
Yes.
Therefore, the person comes on by their gait and by their costume and makeup, you know, then you should be able to appreciate,
yes.
you know, what's going on. Then they speak and it matches, then it works.
Yes. Yes.
Does that make sense? Otherwise, it's just like, let's say the guy comes out, he's very big, very strong, you know, he's dressed up and all that, very royal dress, and he comes out, and then he starts speaking in a squeaky voice.
Yes.
You know, everyone will go, what?
Yes.
You know, yeah, you know, so.
But in that way, like, the audience, he has no way to miss the point in the drama.
Yes, so yes. all these are just ways, I mean, in other words, the words itself could do. It means like you can just read it and get all that.
Yes.
Right? But then by how it's explained, then you see it'll be explained yes. about how their movement was or this or that. You know, certain things are there, and then by knowing how things work, how people walk, how what movements. That's why then there's the whole science of dance. Because
yes.
dance means is, let's say you're not using words.
Mm-hmm.
You're just using movements to express a pastime.
Yes.
And most of the time that'll be with the singing.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're showing all those things, so that it naturally goes together. So when you're saying words, there's a particular you know, how you say, what was it called? Angika. You know, it means of the limbs, there's a certain things. Just like then there's ways the words and their ornaments, so the way the limbs are done in that, it adds to it. Like that. And then this becomes the dress and all the things like that. So it's all part of it. So that's what you expect. That's why then, let's say you have a religious person, you know, you expect them to talk in a certain way, move in a certain way, but you also expect them to dress in a certain way. You know what I'm saying? If the Pope comes out in stress jeans and all that, and you know how you say, and he goes like this and sticks out his tongue, you'll think something's going on here. You know, what's happening? No?
COVID. COVID, Mataji is telling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you never know how it affects people.
Yeah, you never know how it affects people. Some lose their taste, some like that. Some go, you know.
Yeah. Lose their brain.
Yeah, they were noticing that he was always going like this, so he thought, okay, if we change his outfit, I mean, that looks bad, but if he changes his outfit so he looks like a metal band player, then people think, okay, man, you know, the Pope's a rocket here. So that's it. You all expect it to go together. So this idea that devotees go out and they they go out, and that dress, and they'll put people off, they expect you to be like that. You're out on Harinam, you're supposed to be in bed sheets. Like that. That's just part of the scene. That's what makes it all happen. You know, so to say it doesn't, then that means, then where does all this other stuff come from? Why is it for this occasion you dress like that, that occasion you dress like this? There's always this this aspect of Aharyavi. Aharya means you're always going to do the costume and makeup is always going to match. It's used everywhere in society. You know, it's just like you're just a normal person. You know, they say a man, you don't wear eye makeup. But if you're on a stage playing music, you wear eye makeup, it just adds. And then they'll think it's that's cool. You know, so that's the whole thing, is it matches. Someone has to understand this. You can't say, this is not... The point is this, then what matches for here? Right? That you're not saying. Does that make sense? Samanya Abhinaya. Samanya Abhinaya is that which is born out of an equally balanced samana, combination of the vachika, words, angika, gestures, sattvika, temperament. Abhinaya is to communicate a commonly known concept, samanya. So that means all together. So it all has to match. So how he's moving, what he's saying, and how he's, you know, dressed and ornamented, that all should match, right? The earlier analysis of Angika, Vachika, Aharya, and where was the Sattvika?
Sattvika. Svatvika Abhinaya is temperament, Maharaj. That is, goes with the rasa. I mean, it's a Sattvika Sattvika bhavas, so there is no description given much about it. They just say that it is an inherent quality of the character.
Okay, so just put that in when it mentions about the rasa, then put a footnote to just say that the sattvika is included in here. So, you know, or just put it in a footnote here so that you know that it's all already connected. The earlier analysis, okay, are the basic components which then judiciously blended together can be put forward in the form of a samanya abhinaya, which forms the basic or general theatrical expressions, which can easily be comprehended, associated, and relished by the onlooker. Right? So that perfect balanced combination between them, if it's too much this way or too much that way, then it's a problem. The topics which are commonly enjoyed by the people are based on human relationships, particularly the love themes and the relationship between men and women and their behavior in different mental situations. Hence, it is essential to know the concepts of all abhinayas quite thoroughly for creating the right kind of theatrical presentation. So you have to have some idea, be observant of these things and experience it. Then you can nicely do the theater. Yes. Right? Because the Shastra will tell you all the things, but then you have to be able to see that in the public.
Yes.
Right? Like like that. Then you can put it on the stage.
Yes.
Like that. Means in a consistent way. Which will succeed in creating the desired rasa anubhava, or aesthetic relish in the spectator, which is the purpose of the dramatic art. So each one is there, it should be proper, but then mixing them together, just like you may have first-class ingredients. Each one is very nice, and you can say so many glories about it, but only when it's blended together in a balanced way, then it gives that full aspect, mm-hmm. that full taste. Yeah?
Science.
It's a science, yeah. So that's why then the shastra is given, and then you're to take that and then appreciate, you know, its application.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like that. So then you make it practical. That's why you start from shabda, mm-hmm. then by analyzing, then you can see how it applies here.
Yes.
You know, just like you may be sitting there in a public place, and then some people are dealing in a certain way, and how then you go, oh, that's what they mean by that movement.
Yes.
You know, so that's it. You see, when they're angry, how they move their arms.
Yes.
You know, so therefore, let's say if you're in a certain place, let's say you're in Sweden, when they're angry, how they'll act, and if they're in Italy, how they'll act. You know, it's very different.
Yes.
So if you're in Italy, and you just say, I didn't appreciate that, you know, and that's it, and that, you know, like that, they'll go, what's going on here? Did they like it or didn't like it? But if the arms are moving around, then you know, oh, okay, yeah. You know. But if you do that and say, well, why is he moving his arms? He just has to talk. Why do you have to move your arms? So.
Why is he talking?
Yeah. Yeah. You just move. Yeah. You just look. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've had mothers say that they control everybody, you know, in their party that's going, just by, if they're in public, just by looks. Here at home, you use sounds, yes, this and that, yes, but if in the party, they just use looks.
Yes.
Everything's kept in control by looks. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki.